Coming up on podcast 1358, the Model 3 and the Kia e-Niro getting top marks from customers, but why, I'll tell you. Also on the show today, Porsche Taycan gets a new Guinness World Record, a new marketing campaign for Arenic 5, but how are they selling the car? And why Henrik Fisker thinks now is the time to have another go at building an EV. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you're listening in the world, welcome to EV News Daily for Sunday, 30th of January. My name is Martin Lee. I've been through every EV story over the weekend, so you don't have to. And welcome to a new Patreon executive producer, Jonathan Harmer. And Jonathan sent me a wonderful note. Thank you, my friend, about his journey from going from EV curious to EV obsessed. Now, it's a long note. I haven't got time to read it all now, but I just want to say I appreciate him sending me a little email along with signing up on Patreon. I've got about maybe 8 or 10 Patreon names in the bag to read out over the next few days. I'm a bit behind because I'm not complaining. People are signing up at more than one a day. And I like to give everyone their moment in the spotlight. Yeah. So Jonathan, today is your mention. And if you have signed up recently, I haven't forgotten about you. Your mention is coming very soon. We'll start with the first story today. The Tesla Model 3 and the Kia e-Niro getting the highest marks in the latest JD Power EV survey. Second time they've done this, the electric vehicle experience study published 2 days ago. A couple of things have changed and a couple of things haven't since last year. Once again, the top rated car is the Model 3 from Tesla in the premium segment and the Kia e-Niro in the mass market segment. There's a 1,000-point scale, there's 10 factors, range, access to charging and at-home charging, cost of ownership, etc. Model 3 came out top, Model Y was second, Model S was third in their categories. On the mass market side, Kia e-Niro, or Niro EV, depending on what it's called, where you listen, was the highest in the mass market category. They look at not just the cars individually, but also how EV newcomers and EV veterans are feeling and the sentiment. And the good news is that the first-time owners of electric vehicles are reluctant to ever switch back to fossil-powered cars, even as some of them said they had concerns over the charging infrastructure. This report from JD Power saying that the satisfaction rate amongst those who are the first-time pure electric car owners, 754, and that is comparable to 766 on people who are onto their second, third, fourth, etc. Electric car. So that's great news that people coming in, try it, like it, staying with it. Now, next in the news, Porsche Taycan has demolished the previous Guinness World Record. There is a world record for driving across America, Los Angeles to New York City in record time, but not the time to get there, the time that you spend charging. Right. I'm not sure this is a world record that needed setting in the first place, or even needed beating. But Kia did set theirs in an EV6, and so Porsche looked at that time, which was pretty big, 7 hours, 10 minutes, and thought, well, we can do better than that. And actually, Kia were starting to use it in their marketing and their promotion about being a record holder at being quick at charging. So Porsche announced that it's broken the world record for the shortest charging time across the US, 2 hours and 26 minutes, which smashes Kia's 7 hours and 10 minutes. It's a 2,834-mile journey, and it charged very, very quickly, quicker than the Kia EV6. The title belongs now to the Taycan. They used Electrify America's 350-kilowatt DC fast chargers for the US cross-country record. Of course, they should have had a good collaboration with them, as Electrify America set up with the VW naughty, naughty money, and Porsche being a Volkswagen brand. So they should have had some collaboration. I would make sure that those chargers are, you know, working and optimal ones to plug into. But that's, I guess, look, if I'm being positive, you can drive across the US and only stop for 2 hours and 26 minutes, I guess. There's no total time to drive it. So, you know, that kind of negates the record for me, because it's important to know, well, how was the car driven? But this record is all about the time that it spent stopped. And yeah, I guess driving 2,800 miles and only stopping for a couple of hours is probably just good common sense for safety, but it does show that if you are running that car down to almost zero, you are going to plug in on the right charger, get 260 or 270 kilowatts charge speed, and charge very, very quickly. And as soon as that charge rate even starts to drop off, unplug, Move on to the next Electrify America charging station. If anything, EA should be proud of this because it shows there are enough chargers across the US now for a car like the Porsche Taycan to plug in, charge for a little bit, and then make a short dash again to the next charger, but always, always riding that peak charge rate. And as soon as it starts to slow down, unplug and move on. I think it's more of a record for the charging network than the car, but either way, good news. Now, StoreDot are next in the news. The fast battery charging specialist StoreDot unveiling their new technology that extends the life of EV batteries, according to the website theengineer.co.uk. StoreDot are an Israeli firm, and their XFC battery technology provides a 50% reduction in charging time. But their latest innovation is all about extending the lifespan of EV batteries and reducing the environmental impact as well. It claims the technology enables batteries to have a more robust performance after 1,000 cycles. And so a cycle is full to empty to full. And it claims an 80% capacity after 1,000, which is, for so many people, a good few years of driving that car hard every day. We probably charge our car, well, we don't ever go down to zero, and then we don't cycle the battery. But we do leave it plugged in at the top end to balance the cells. But if we weren't to trickle charge overnight on a cheap rate octopus tariff, we would charge once a week, probably. But either way, 1,000 cycles for most people is pretty hard to get to in the lifetime of the how they'll own that vehicle. But that's when typical batteries start to deteriorate. But StoreDot's technology showed that even after 1,700 cycles, their batteries maintain 70% of the original capacity, making them effective for second life storage in applications, for grid load balancing, etc. Now we'll go to Connecticut, launching a comprehensive and complex charging program. Maybe where you live should copy something like this. Connecticut Utilities kicking off the year with a new EV program to spur the deployment of more than 60,000 charging points by the end of the decade. The Connecticut Public Utilities Regulatory Authority approved the 9-year program, clearing the way for Eversource and United Illuminating to offer a couple of incentives for their customers. First of all, you get money off a residential charger of $500. In Connecticut, you got about 21,000 EVs registered in the state, but their target is 500,000 by the end of the decade. This new charging incentive is targeting residential installations, also for destination chargers and DC fast charging, where grants are available for $150,000. Up to $250,000 if that community is underserved. A great, by the looks of it, from what I understand, initiative. I'll pop a link to Utility Dive in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Right, coming very soon, we'll talk about how the German organization that ensures cars are roadworthy are critical of one particular EV, and why Henrik Fisker thinks now is the time for another go at making an electric car. Stick around, those stories are on the way. All right, moving on. And Hyundai is comparing its evolution to that of other human innovations in its new national campaign in the US for the IONIQ 5. The campaign's theme name is called Your Journey at its Most Evolved. And there's two new TV commercials starring Jason Bateman. There's a 60-second spot called The History of Evolution, in which he is in different historical eras explaining how inventions actually got better over time. Now, this new TV ad showcases the IONIQ 5 and how it sort of represents, if you like, the advancement of the EV compared to human language, to navigation, to telephones and televisions. It's airing today during both the professional football's conference championship games. The second spot, by the way, is called Campsite, and it's a 30-second ad highlighting IONIQ 5's vehicle-to-load function and how it powers equipment. And in this instance, they're showing it making camping a lot more comfortable. If you see that, I'd love to know. Maybe it's an online campaign or you see a lot more on TV of that. Do drop me a note. Now, while Tesla has been at the forefront of driving the EV revolution, they were very early, of course, with the Model S. And at times, I do feel that they have had to do more recalls, stealth recalls, than they would like to admit. Battery pack replacements, etc., etc. The warranty is fabulous on Teslas, but when they were learning how to be a car company, I think they've tried to keep as much of that quiet as possible. A lot of those early S's have had a huge amount of warranty work, and some have been absolutely fine, of course. And in Germany, they have, in this new report today, come in for a little bit of criticism. A news from Germany brings into clear focus how the Model S is unfavourable compared to its German competition that's been around a long time and had those car companies have learned how to make cars. In Germany, the automotive inspections are carried out. They're quite rigorous. First, after a car has been in use for 3 years, and then every 2 years. Over here, we have the MOT, something similar. After 3 years, then it's an annual inspection. I don't think it's enormously rigorous, but it's a roadworthy test. Well, the Smart 4.2 electric actually performed the best of all. Only 3.5% of all the cars that they look at in their roadworthy test in Germany shows any defects. BMW's i3, not far behind. 4.7% of vehicles they find have defects. For comparison's sake, the average defect rate of all cars 3 years old in Germany is 4.7%. However, Renault Zoe's 5.7, starting to present some defects below average, but by far the worst car they looked at was the Model S. 10.7% of all S's they looked at showed up for testing with defects and things like suspension and control arms, etc. So I find with Tesla, they always make it right in the end, and their cars now are clearly night and day, in some cases better than their early models. But always a word of warning, if you are going to buy a older, cheaper, used S, or not so much an X, but both, even early threes, then make sure you got a warranty, either a Tesla warranty or third party, that you're fully covered, and you'll be fine, because when it goes wrong, it can be expensive. But otherwise, if you're covered, no problems. Those cars will serve you well for many, many years. Now, the Austrian manufacturer Magna is going to be at the heart of Fisker's second attempt at building an electric car. Henrik Fisker taking another swing at luxury car building, says Car and Driver. The Ocean is his SUV coming in front, and all-wheel drive configurations. A 275 motor, a horsepower motor for the base version, 250 miles, and there will be an extreme trim with two motors and 550 horsepower. But prices for the base model start at under $40,000. And the Ocean is getting close to its release date. It should begin deliveries in November. And Fisker, a company that do put a lot of stuff out there in terms of PR and releases, and they're generally trying to court publicity, but that's really rolled around. It'll be this year when the Ocean is out. Car and Driver asked Henrik, what's different with the Ocean? And he answered this, and I'll give you his answer. It's really, really insightful. Let's say there are three fundamental things that I learned from the Karma. The Karma was his first attempt at an electrically powered vehicle years ago. Probably too early. He says there's four things, actually. One, timing is everything. Number two, you've got to have enough money from the beginning to the end of the launch. I didn't want to really kick off this program until we had $1 billion, which we raised last year. You can't build something start-stop. That kills you. So, number two, get the money. Number three, look at the technology and assess the risk. Battery is the biggest risk in electric cars. So, we spent a long time working closely on the deal with CATL. Number four, the manufacturing of the vehicle. We need a solid manufacturing partner. And I think they've got it with Magna. They're a great assembler of cars, and they're in good hands there. So that's interesting to hear from Fisker. Little reminder, they're still around, still coming. Ocean's on the way this year. Right, final story on the podcast today. And how do you fancy a Lucid Air Dream Edition? Only 520 ever being made. You might say, Martin, you can't get one. They're all sold out. Oh, my friends, you have forgotten about eBay. And you never, never overestimate people. Of the 520 people that got the Lucid Air Dream Edition, the first one, there were clearly some people that would rather have the money rather than the car. It entered market on October 30th. 520 cars is the number because there's 520 miles of EPA range. As it turns out, for those who would prefer the cash, not the car, there are plenty of people on eBay now selling their Lucid Air Dream Edition Performance. There is one on for $220,000. That is number 111. It's done 700 miles and it's currently in Orlando, Florida. There's one on for $225,000 on eBay. That's car number 34. Mileage unknown. And there is car number 240 is on for $239,000 on eBay. It's driven 17 miles. So that car was produced at the Arizona factory, clearly, put onto a, because that car I think is in Florida as well, put onto a trailer and shipped somewhere, never to be driven. Simply to buy it for, what was it, $170,000 new, to buy it and to sell it. Well, I wonder how Lucid feel about people putting their cars immediately on eBay. And would you use eBay to spend $240,000 on a new car? Well, I guess, you know, if you've got the money in your PayPal account, then you go for your life, my friend. I'm a little bit sad about that. It's not people who have bought the car, driven it for, I don't know, a year and been like, okay, I'll sell it on now. I've had some fun with it. It's, I don't know, maybe people bought it in good faith. Maybe people bought those cars thinking, oh, I'm going to buy a Lucid. And then when they saw the fact that they could make 50, 60 grand overnight profit, if somebody pays that price, by the way, cars are only worth what people will pay for them, thinking, you know what, easy cash, I'll take the money. Bit of a shame, given that there are so few of them around and lots of people would love one. But I guess, there we go, humans, aren't we great? Now, question of the week, I'm going to read that one out in a second. Look out for that in your feed. That's all about whether we do need 500 miles on an EV or not. Some really brilliant answers this week, so stick around for that show coming soon in your feed. Thanks to our premium partners of the podcast, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.